We'll be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. So if you'd open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is our familiar passage having to do with the communion service. You know, when a baseball player steps up to the plate to bat, there's at least one basic rule that he has to remember. Keep your eye on the ball. Don't look at the coach. Don't look at the third baseman. Don't look up. Look at the ball. Keep your eye on the ball all the way through that swing. You'll have a better opportunity of making contact. There's a similar rule like that in golf. When you're a golfer, very early on, you will learn, keep your head down. Keep your head down, focused at the ball. Keep your head down and focused on the ball all the way through your swing. This is your golf tip this morning. All the way through, and don't look up until after you've made contact with that ball. Again, that gives you a better opportunity to make the best contact that you can. I think that same sort of idea applies to us as Christians. It is so important in living the Christian life that we as Christians keep our eye on the ball. And by that I mean keeping our minds on basic, main Christian truths that fashion the way we live daily. There are a lot of concepts, doctrines, and issues to think about in the Christian faith, but I do believe that there are basic truths that should occupy front and center daily. And I am convinced that that is why Jesus gave us this ordinance that we call the Lord's Supper, communion, an ordinance that we are to regularly keep. The communion service emphasizes very basic, important truths. And every time we sit together at the Lord's table, we should be reminded of those very truths. Those truths should be reemphasized and reinforced in our lives. The communion service helps us as Christians to keep our eye on the ball. Read with me, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul says, "For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." I believe that there are five directions that we need to look at every time we partake of communion together. And each one of these different directions that we look at emphasizes a truth to be reminded of. First, and most obviously, at the communion service, as Christians, we are to look back We are to look back in time. Look back to an event. Verse 24, Jesus says, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Jesus would say, "Take of this bread, which represents my broken body, and eat it in remembrance of me. Take of this cup, which represents the new covenant, which I bought with my shed blood, and drink it in remembrance of me." So the communion service is a memorial service. It's a time for us as Christians to look back. Now, what are we to look back at? What are we to remember? We are to remember the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We are to remember that actual historical event. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was arrested. Jesus went through a mock trial. Jesus was handed over to Pilate. Jesus was beaten. He was scourged. He had a crown of thorns shoved into his skull. His nails and feet, his hands and feet were nailed to a cross. His blood was shed. At the communion service, we remember the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died. Jesus crucified, died, and buried. Beyond that, just remembering the fact, as Christians, we're to remember the significance of Christ's death. The idea that Jesus gave himself. He allowed himself to be sacrificed on the cross. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of the world. And we're to remember the gospel message at the communion service. The idea that all of us are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. And our sin separates us from God. And punishment for sin is death and separation from God. But God, in his great love, sent his Son to come and offer himself up for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved. And so, of course, this morning, remember that it is the shed blood of Jesus Christ that atones for all of our sin. And that it's because of what Christ did on the cross that the new covenant is now in place. So we are to remember the significance of this event. Beyond that, even at the communion service, we're to proclaim the Lord's death. Look what Paul says in verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Literally, preach the Lord's death. I don't know if you know it, but every one of us here this morning who are about to partake of this bread and this wine, all of us today are preachers. You're a preacher today. You're an evangelist today. When we partake of these elements, we are preaching the death of Christ. We're preaching the fact that his body was broken, that his blood was shed. And we are preaching the significance of that event. And we are preaching the fact that there is salvation found through the death of Jesus Christ. We're preachers this morning, proclaiming it. Oftentimes, during the week of Easter and Good Friday, there'll be different local churches around cities across the world that will put on passion plays. You know what a passion play is? That's where you sort of reenact the death of Christ. It's a play. It's a drama. Movies have been done on this event. Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, a reenactment of Christ's death. Those are very powerful things. Those are good things to be a part of.
But did you know that Jesus has given us a passion play? To observe often. The communion service is a passion play. This is a reenactment of the death of Jesus Christ. Please understand, I didn't say that Jesus is being sacrificed again every time we do this, as some believe. Jesus was sacrificed once. And on the third day, he rose again, and he's in heaven today. So he made that sacrifice once. But at the communion service, it's like we reenact it. The body of our Lord broken, his blood shed, and all that that signifies to us. And of course, in remembering that and proclaiming that, as Christians, we are to give thanks for that. Amen? In fact, this ordinance is called the Eucharist by some. Eucharist means giving of thanks. And so, at the communion service, we look back at what Christ has done. We recognize the significance of it. We proclaim it. And we give thanks to God for it. Many years ago, there was a nobleman and his daughter and his faithful servant. And they had been on a long journey. They were away from home. And they were trying to get back home to his castle. And in those days, they went by horse and carriage. And oftentimes, when they went on a long journey, they would go from station to station, sort of like truck drivers do with Flying J's. They would go to a station, get rid of their team of horses, which was normally four, get a fresh team, and then go to the next station and eventually get home. Well, they were doing that, and they got to their last station before they would end up home. And the sun was about to go down, and they were warned, you know, you should probably stay the night. You don't want to go, because in this part of this area, there are many ferocious wolves out and about. And they sort of hide out during the day, but at night they come out. And they travel in packs. And so the nobleman thought about it, but he said, you know what, let's just go. We want to get home. And so off they went. Eventually the sun did go down, and the wolves came out. They found themselves surrounded by these ferocious wolves in a pack, thirsty for blood. Well, the faithful servant, at peril of his life, let one horse go. And so this horse went out into the bush. And of course, the pack of wolves worked on that one horse and left them alone. And they were able to go a little bit further. But the wolves came back. And so once again, at peril of his own life, he let go of another horse, this faithful servant, into the bush. And the wolves busied themselves on that horse as they continued on. But the wolves came back. This time, the faithful servant gave the reins to the nobleman, jumped off the cart, offered himself as a means to keep the wolves busy. The nobleman and his daughter and the two remaining horses reached their castle. Very next morning, the nobleman woke up and retraced his steps and learned and found that the faithful servant had in fact died. And right at that place, he put a little memorial to remember the sacrifice of a faithful servant that saved his life. This is what the communion service is. It is a memorial to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And we remember that event this way. with thanksgiving. Amen? Now, this is what we remember every time we gather at the table. Every single time, this should be at the forefront of our mind. And you know what? This is a truth that should be in our minds every day as Christians. Every day we should remember there was a Savior who died on the cross for me. And we should view every circumstance in our life through that lens. Everything that we face, we should do cross-examination on. Meaning, examine everything in light of the cross. Something comes into your life that might be a temptation. Think to yourself, wait a minute, I have a Savior who died on the cross for me. I want to obey Him. You go through a rough time in your life, you lose a job, or you have an issue, or you get some bad health, and maybe you might even think, well, does God love me anymore? Well, you think of the cross. You have a Savior that died on the cross so that you could spend all of eternity in heaven. You see injustices in this life, and it gets you down. Wait a minute, do some cross-examination. Think about the cross. Jesus died for all the injustices of the world. So we look back. At the communion service, we should also look up. Look up. I want you to notice in our text how many times the word Lord shows up. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Verse 27, therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. End of verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body. Time and time again in this passage, the Lord is emphasized. This is the Lord's Supper. We are sitting at the Lord's table. Jesus is called Lord at the communion service. He is the King. He is the Master. He's everything. Let me read to you a passage out of Philippians chapter 2. I'm just going to read it to you. Listen very carefully. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of what Christ did, which these elements represent, he has been exalted to the highest place. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and I think we should see the communion service as a coronation service, where every time we gather at this table, we look up and we declare that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And every time we sit at this table, we look up and personally say, Jesus, be King of my life. Be my Lord. I submit myself to you. I surrender myself to you, as we sang much about this morning. The communion service is a time for us to stand up and pledge allegiance to King Jesus. Every now and then on TV, you'll learn of a country or a kingdom that gets removed from power and another power takes over that kingdom. And oftentimes when something like that happens, there's a ceremony. And what happens at the ceremony? Well, the flag of the old kingdom is brought down. The flag of the new kingdom is raised up. At the communion service, that's what we should do every time. Take our flag down. Raise the flag of Jesus Christ. And once again, in a fresh way, embrace surrender. Say, Jesus, be my King. Be my Master. You are the Lord. Every time we come to the table, we do that. And you know what? That's keeping your eye on the ball, because we really should think that way every day as Christians, right? You know, if you're like me, you forget who's in charge every now and then. Think, hey, I'm calling the shots. I'm making some decisions here. I'm going to go forward. Wrong-o. Every day we should wake up and say, I surrender afresh. Jesus, you're the King. What would you like me to do today? I will take my cues from your word. I will pray. I want to know what your will is. We have an opportunity to surrender afresh to our King. We look up. There's another direction that we need to look at the communion service, and that is we need to look around. And I'd like to ask you to do that right now. Just look around. What do you see? People. We are surrounded by people. And no doubt, at this service, right now, you are surrounded by other believers in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Those who have become born again by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This ordinance, this commandment for us to keep, this celebration has been called a family meal. This is a corporate thing. This is something that we keep as a body. Again, back in 1 Corinthians. Notice a few things in verse 24. Again, it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Just want you to know that in the Greek language, that you is not singular, it's plural. If we had a Texas translation, it would say, broken for y'all. So this is all plural. Every time it says, you drink, you take, you do this, it's always plural. It's for a group of people. It's for a body of believers. And listen very carefully to me this morning. If there was ever a time when the body of Christ was to be in unity and harmony and love, it is when we sit down at the family table. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you're going to partake of this, but you got a problem with another Christian that's sitting over here, you're mad at him? You've been offended, or you've offended them? Or maybe you got in a fight with your husband or wife on the way over here? Things need to be made right. This is a family meal, and there needs to be harmony here. Do you guys still have family meals together at home? I hope you do. Or at least regularly during the week, you get home and there's a really good home-cooked meal and you all gather around the table, mom, dad, kids, whatever the family is, and you pray together and then you enjoy a meal together. But you know what can absolutely destroy a family meal? A family fight. You ever sat down at the table and you're going to have this awesome meal and Susie gets mad at Billy? Maybe a food fight breaks out. Or an argument or a heated debate. What does that do to the whole ambience of the meal? It ruins it. It's no longer a joyous occasion. Same thing when we sit down at this table, my friends. Every time we sit down at the communion table, we should consider if we've offended any one of our brothers or sisters in Christ, or if we have been offended by. And we should make a decision right there at the table that we're going to pursue fellowship, unity, harmony, reconciliation. And I think that is a wonderful reason why Jesus gave us this ordinance and said, do this often. Now, we do this monthly. Some churches do it weekly. But if we're doing this right every month, you can't be mad at somebody for longer than a month. Because at the table, you are to be in harmony and fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So I would say to you, look around this morning. Look around your life. Are there Christians in your life that you're mad at? Are there Christians that are mad at you? You may not be able to settle that right now, but as we sit at the Lord's table, decide, Lord, I will take care of that. I will pursue reconciliation. Look around. Another direction, and I love this one. This one's one of my favorite. At the communion service, we are to look ahead. We're to look ahead. Look what it says again in verse 26. Actually, before you do that, notice up again in verse 24. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in the Greek language is in the imperative, which means it's a command. We are commanded to do this. Do this in the original language is also in the present tense, which means it is something that we are to do often, continually, frequently. So the church is commanded to do this regularly and frequently until verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. So I believe Paul is literally telling us that this is an ordinance for the church that we are to keep regularly until Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again for us, we won't be partaking of communion again. Why? Because when Jesus Christ comes again, shadows will give way to substance. Pictures will give way to reality. We won't need a piece of bread to make us think about the body of Jesus Christ or a cup of grape juice to make us think about his blood. We'll have Jesus right then. We'll see him. We'll be with him. And when we go to be with Jesus again, we're not going to be having just a little bit of food like this. We're going to go into the wedding feast of the Lamb. This is just an appetizer. So the idea is that every time we sit down at this table, we recognize that this might be the last time we do it in all of eternity. For the living Lord Jesus Christ may come again at every moment, any moment. And so it causes us to look ahead and to long for his return. There is a beautiful, beautiful picture that can be applied to the communion service, which I learned a couple of years ago when I was in Israel and was reminded of again when we did the Passover Seder a couple weeks ago. It has to do with marriage, a wedding. back in the days of the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Remember how weddings and marriages worked out back then? They were basically arranged. Although I think that there was attraction. I think some young guy would have seen some young gal and said, "Mom, Dad, I like her." And then I think the family, if they were going to pursue that, the groom's family would get together with the family of the bride-to-be, and they'd talk about it. And they would eventually, if it was to move forward, enter into a covenant. They'd sign a covenant together, and a price would be paid. The guy's family would, is that how it works? The bride's family would pay a dowry. So there would be a price, a sacrifice that's paid. And that would decide, okay, we're going to go forward. Yet, I also learned that in some occasions and in some places during that time, a formal ceremony would be conducted where a glass of wine was poured. And this glass of wine would be offered to the bride-to-be. She was given a choice. Do you really want this guy? Do you really want this deal? And if she took that glass of wine and drank, that was signing on the dotted line. That was like getting the engagement ring. That makes it go forward. And then that couple would enter into what's called the betrothed stage, where they were basically married except not living together. At that point, the groom would go off to prepare a place for his bride for about a year and a half, build a house that would usually be an attachment to his father's house. And then when the place was prepared and built, the groom would come for his bride, take her with him to his place. Then they'd have a week-long wedding celebration, a wedding feast, and that bride, when she would drink that wine, she would look forward to the fact that the groom's coming. Isn't that, think of how that could apply to the communion service. Jesus Christ has come to this planet to bring us salvation, to call us as his bride. He signed a new covenant. He purchased that covenant with his shed blood. He's offered us his blood, his sacrifice. Then what did Jesus say to his disciples? "Behold, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and receive you unto my own." Jesus is in heaven. He's preparing a place for us. One day he will come again for his bride. We will be brought into the heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says the first thing we experience is an awesome banquet. The wedding feast of the Lamb. I think that symbology so beautifully applies. We're about to hand out these cups, and I want you to think of it this way. As you drink of that cup, you're renewing your wedding vows to Jesus Christ. And as you drink of that cup, you are expecting him to return for you. Jesus Christ has pledged, promised us that he will come again. That's keeping your eye on the ball. Again, every time we meet at this table, we look ahead. We know that Jesus can come again at any time. And again, that's something that you need to be thinking about daily as a Christian. Jesus can come again at any moment, and that changes the way you live. One more direction I would like to mention, and then we'll partake. At the communion service, we're to look back, look up, look around, look ahead. At the communion service, we should also look within. Look within. Look at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There it is. Every time at the communion service, we're to examine ourselves. We're to look within. What are we to be looking for? We want to look at our thoughts, our hearts, our motives, our actions, our attitudes. We want to be sure that we're not going to partake of this important celebration in an unworthy manner. And that is what's at issue here. Taking of this in an unworthy manner. It doesn't say that, you know, you have to be worthy enough to sit at this table. You know, and a lot of Christians get that mixed up and they're actually afraid of the communion service. Wait a minute, I'm not worthy. I'm not perfect. Who is? Who is worthy to sit at this table? Anybody? Any one of us in our own strength? Absolutely not. This table is for sinners. Jesus died for our sins that we might become worthy to enter into his presence. So the idea is that you don't have to be this perfect. You don't have to, I lived a perfect month, so now I can have communion. Now, how do you partake of communion in an unworthy manner? If you do it flippantly. If you do it carelessly. If you do it irreverently. So if you sit here this morning and you're thinking, cool, snacks at church today. That's careless. That's irreverent. Or if you're sitting at this table today and you see this only as a ritual, it's a meaningless traditional ritual. I'm just going to take this bread and drink this cup, and that's it. It's just a ritual. It doesn't mean any. That's taking of the Lord's Supper, in my opinion, in an unworthy manner. We take these elements today knowing what they signify. Knowing what they mean. And I do believe it's also very important every time we sit at the communion table to go through a time in your life of spiritual inventory. Look within, examine yourself. Lord, if there's any sin in my life that I'm harboring, I'm sorry. Forgive me, help me. You should look within and say, am I representing Jesus Christ in the way I should to the non-believers in my life? Have I surrendered? Do I have a relationship in my life that needs to be reconciled? Every time we sit down at this table, you have the opportunity to sort of clear the air between you and your Lord. Restore fellowship, perhaps, that is broken. Again, that's keeping your eye on the ball every day. The scripture says we should confess our sins, right? And the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and restore our fellowship. So I just think this is such a wonderful, wonderful ordinance for us to keep. Keeping our minds focused on what really matters. Looking back, being thankful for what Christ has done. Looking up, Jesus, be my King. I crown you King of Kings on the throne of my life once again afresh this morning. Looking around, am I committed to fellowship in the body of Christ? Looking ahead, Can't wait to see Jesus. He can come back at any time. And looking within. Lord, my life is yours. Point out things that need to change in me. This is what I would like you to focus on as we distribute these elements. Maybe go through every one of these in your mind just a little bit. I want you to hold it in your hand and wait. We'll all take it as a body together. But go through it. Thank Christ. Tell Christ he's king. Say I do to Jesus Christ again. Look within. Before we distribute the elements, there is a word of warning that I would like to give. And that is, as I've said, this is a family meal. This ordinance is only for those who are believers in Jesus Christ. We also call this the communion service. You know what communion means? It simply means to participate, to share in, to join in together. We are about to share in, join in the receiving of these elements, but that is only for those who have joined in and participated in the redemptive plan of God through Jesus Christ. Christ has died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again the third day. And the Bible says if we place our faith in Christ, if we receive him, we become born again and all of our sins are forgiven based on what he has done. That's how you get saved. After you've made that decision, only then can you participate in this wonderful ordinance that commemorates all of that and brings so much significance to us. So, let me tell you, I want everyone in this sanctuary to partake of these elements this morning. Every single one. If you have not received Christ this morning, I want you to do that this morning. That you might partake. I want to put pressure on you this morning. The communion service is a service that puts pressure. This plate is going to be passed around. You're going to have the choice. Do I take? Do I drink? Understand, taking and drinking is indicative of the fact that you have already taken and receiving Christ into your life. And if you haven't done it, then do it this morning. So let's have the guys come up. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. And before we pass these out, I want to give anybody here this morning an opportunity. Have your sins been washed away? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Every head bowed, every eye closed, you have an opportunity right now to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure of the fact that your sins have been forgiven. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand high, boldly, unashamedly. This morning, I received Christ. Raise your hand. Anybody here this morning? The Lord bless you and you. I see you both. Anybody else? Raise your hands. If the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart, don't you say no. Anybody else here this morning? I want to lead you in a prayer, those of you who have raised your hands. With a simple prayer, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Just in your heart, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I admit that I am a sinner. and I need my sins to be forgiven. Come into my heart, forgive me. Change me. Make me born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, my friend, you are born again. Your sins are forgiven. You have become a child of God. And now let's partake of the family meal.
And you and I were made to worship. You and I called to love. And you and I have forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to.